Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
One of the most important jobs that you have as a parent is to keep your child safe all the time and every day, but specifically when they're riding in a vehicle. And each year, thousands of kids are killed in car crashes. And as a parent, it is so scary. But when you've got a new little one, that's when you start to learn really about car seats and how vital they are and how you want to hug your car seat because it's keeping your children safe. Here to tell us all about that is Dr. Benjamin Hoffman. He's the chair of the AAP Council on Injury, Violence, and Poison Prevention. Dr. Hoffman, let's start with the little guys. So you can't leave the hospital without a car seat in your car, and they're going to be the rear facing. Tell us, how do we find them? How do we fit them? How do we know they're right?
Great. Well, thank you very much for this opportunity, Melanie. You know, we know that a car seat makes all the difference in the world. Using a car seat decreases the risk of serious injury and death by about 70%. We also know that car seats are really hard to use. And while the manufacturers have done a ton to try and make them easier, they still remain a challenge. Going home from the hospital is a really hard time to learn new things and to practice because you're exhausted and terrified. And I know that as a parent as well as a pediatrician. So shopping, you know, looking at car seats early. A lot of times what parents prefer for newborns are what we call the rear-facing only seats, which have a carrier that will attach to a base that remains in the car that you can install and stays in the car, but then allows you to move the baby out of the vehicle without waking them up or without detaching them from the carrier. There also are seats that are called convertible seats that can face backwards and then can be converted to forward-facing. One of the things we really want parents to know about is that because car seats are difficult to use, working with a certified child passenger safety technician in their community, especially before delivery, can be really helpful. Some hospitals may have assistance in using the car seat correctly, but honestly, most don't. And so being as prepared as possible before the baby comes is a really important thing. We know that over 90% of families going home with a newborn are going to make dangerous mistakes around their car seat, not because of the parents, you know, because of anything about them or you know, not because they don't love their kids, but because they're hard. And families who worked with a car seat technician before birth were about 10 times less likely to make those serious mistakes.
Oh, I love to hear that, Dr. Hoffman, because I was one of those people. I went to the fire station where we lived.
Yep.
And I was pregnant, and I said, can you help me? And they said, absolutely. And they helped me fit it and get it in my car and learn how to take it in and out. And I love those ones that pop out and become a stroller because, yeah, those are nice.
Yep.
If baby's sleeping. So that's a great thing to hear for parents is to start early during pregnancy and learn the car seat situation and find a technician that can absolutely help you. Now, so there's different types of car seats. What everybody's mm-hmm. biggest question, Dr. Hoffman, is when – what grade, what age, what height, and what weight do you go from rear-facing to front-facing to booster seat? I mean, nobody seems to get that when you're a parent.
Right. So I think it doesn't need to be as complicated as everybody makes it. There's one operative principle that I would ask parents to think about. And you know this, Melanie, as a parent, that we think about our kids and their development and, you know, changes in their life as, you know, milestones being positive things. We, you know, around going from lying on the floor to crawling to walking and from, you know, cooing to babbling to speaking real words. We frame that in a positive light. Car seats and child passenger safety is one of the few places where the next step you lose protection. And so we want parents to really think differently about those progressions as a negative thing and to delay those as long as possible. Now, the way that the absolute determinant of as long as possible is what the car seat manufacturer says as far as weight and length. We were talking earlier about the rear-facing only seats that have the carrier. The majority of those have a weight limit of 30 pounds, which is great because most kids won't hit 30 pounds until somewhere between 2 or even 3 years. but they also have a height limit, a length limit of about 30 inches. And most kids will hit 30 inches somewhere between 12 and 15 months, if not a little bit earlier. And so paying attention to both the weight and the length and using that as the longest period of time you can use that particular seat. The convertible seats that I mentioned earlier that can stay rear-facing, most of them will go to 40 pounds and 43 inches. And honestly, looking at growth charts, the majority of kids could probably stay in those rear-facing until age 4. That doesn't mean they have to, but if you asked me about the safest possible way to transport a child, it would be a rear-facing for as long as possible up to the limits of the seat. One of the things that's happened in the last couple of weeks is we released a revision of our policy statement on car seats, which used to specifically say keep kids rear-facing as long as possible up to the limits of the seat, as I just said, but specifically called out age 2 as a minimum. And in the course of the last couple of years, the data around which that recommendation for age 2 was called into question correctly, and it turns out that the paper that gave us the age 2 there were some errors in the statistics, and so that paper has been retracted from the literature. And our recommendation now takes any specific age out of the equation altogether, because we don't have any data that tells us which age is the right age and which age is the minimum. So the guidance is rear facing as long as possible up to the limits of the seat. And the idea then of parents delaying those transitions, staying rear facing until you have to turn them around forward facing, and then keeping them in a forward facing seat with a 5-point harness until you have to move them to a booster seat. And helping parents get to that place and supporting them in that, I think, is a really important thing that we need to be doing.
So before we discuss shopping for that car seat, which is sort of the first thing every parent needs to do, when your children are in the car seat and with winter in some parts of the country, Dr. Hoffman, I see some parents pulling their little kids out of car seats and they're bundled up in their little onesie winter outfit, and they're in this car seat all bundled up. What do you want parents to know about the cold weather and what kids should be wearing when they're in those little rear-facing car seats?
Yeah, that's another really common question. In all car seats, whether they're rear-facing or forward-facing, we want the harness straps to be as snug as we can comfortably get them on the child. And the way that those of us who are technicians will think about snug is that if the parent tries to pinch some of the webbing of the harness over the child's collarbone and shoulder, they shouldn't be able to get any slack between their fingers. It shouldn't be so tight that the child is just, is completely bolted in. But we don't want a lot of slack. And the reason, if I can explain that, the reason is that, in a car crash, it's, however fast the car is going, when it starts to slow down, all of the human bodies in that car are still going that same speed, and they're going to keep going that speed until something stops them. If there's a lot of space and slack between the child and the straps, they're going to move and hit the straps at whatever speed they're traveling. So you think about being shot out of a cannon at 30 or 50 or 60 miles per hour into seatbelt webbing, it can hurt. The tighter they are, the more secure they are, the less momentum and inertia being shot forward they're going to have into those straps. And so in order to explain that to folks, I'll often ask them to take their hand and put it about 6 inches away from their face and then push, and you end up slapping your face and it hurts. But if you put your cheek against your face and push with the same amount of force, it doesn't hurt because you're not having that impact. You're not accelerating into the webbing in the same way.
Wow, what a good point and a good picture that you gave us for that. So now we're shopping for these car seats. What should we look for? And you see people putting these things out at garage sales all the time. And I'm always a little weary of buying a used car seat or one that's, maybe looks like it's a little bit older. What do you want them to be looking for when they're buying that car seat?
All right, so let me answer the second question first, and then we'll go back to sort of general things. Number one, it around used car seats, it's really important that you know the entire history of your car seat. All car seats have an expiration date. Some of them specifically will list what the expiration date is. If there is not an expiration date, it's 6 years from the date of manufacture, and all car seats are required to have at least a sticker with the date of manufacture on it. And that part of the reason is that, you know, car seats, they're made of plastic and other materials that can degrade over time. And, you know, sitting in the car, they go through the highs of the summer heat and the lows of the winter cold, and the plastic expands and contracts and can break down, and you can get some deficiencies that we would worry about being able to adequately protect the child in the crash. The second piece is that we want to make sure that car seats that you know the history of the car seat, because if it's ever been in a crash, you don't want to use it. And so, you know, if you're getting a secondhand car seat from a friend or a relative and you trust them 100% that they'll tell you the truth about the history, I have no problem with that as long as it's not expired. I really worry about garage sales and consignment stores and those sorts of things, because you can't be 100% certain about the history. And you know, we're talking about, you know, motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for kids over the age of 4. This is kind of a big deal, and so we do want people to take it seriously. Going back to the first part of the question, and what's the best seat? So the best seat is the one that's going to be appropriate for the child in terms of their weight, length, and development, the one that's going to keep them, you know, in what they're in as long as possible, whether it's rear-facing or forward-facing or booster. It needs to fit in the car. And unfortunately, there are often incompatibility issues between vehicles and car safety seats. And there are sometimes, you know, even those of us who have a ton of experience can't make it work. So making sure that it fits the car and having a chance, you know, maybe to take it out to the car before you purchase it to take a look at it, or keeping your receipt for sure in case it can't be installed correctly. And then the seat that the parents feel like they will use correctly every time. You know, and the difference between the least expensive seat you can find and the most expensive seat you can find is often going to be things around the quality of the fabric and some of the bells and whistles. Sometimes there are some ease of use things that will make a little bit of a difference that you might pay a little bit more for. But the least expensive car seat on the market will protect a child just as well as the most expensive seat. And so it's really about making sure the kids are in something and that the parents are using them.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. What a great point, Dr. Hoffman. Now, as we, you know, our kids get older and they start to say, I don't want to sit in a car seat, or they start to see their friends who are maybe a little bit bigger than they are, i.e. my children, and they say, I don't want to sit in a car seat. When can we put them in a booster seat from that forward-facing car seat? And where does the seatbelt come in? And then when can we let them sit in the seat?
Right. So let's go back to the basic principle. We want to keep kids in what they're in as long as possible. So thinking about the forward-facing seats with a harness. They have a 5-point harness, which is what they use in race cars. And the reason they use them in race cars is because they protect humans better than just a regular seat belt. The majority of the seats on the market now will have a harness that will accommodate kids to 60 or 65 pounds, which honestly for a lot of kids will get them into middle school. The minimum that's on the market now for forward-facing would be 40 pounds. And, you know, whatever you have, keep them in it as long as you possibly can before you transition to a booster seat. What the booster seat does is it takes it – seat belts are built for grown-ups. And there are some – aside from just physical size, there are some developmental in skeletal differences in kids around their hips and stuff that make a seatbelt less protective for them, even if they look like they're an adult. I mean, I know you can't see me. I'm not a very tall person. I take care of 12-year-olds who are bigger than me.
Yep, me too.
But a 12-year-old might look like, you know, might look like an adult, but their body is different and it's going to behave differently in a crash. And so we can't protect them in the same way that we would be protecting an adult with just a seatbelt. The booster seat does two things. Number one is it makes sure that the shoulder belt part fits correctly, which means that it's coming over the collarbone and the breastbone and not touching the neck and not something that the child is going to take and put behind them or put under their arm, because that gets rid of the protective effect of that shoulder belt in preventing the upper body and the head and neck from moving forward in a crash. The second thing is all of the booster seats have something that the lap belt, that guides the lap belt, that helps keep it on the bony part of your hips, on the pelvis, and not sliding up into the belly where it can, you know, where there's all sorts of really important stuff that if a seatbelt intrudes in there can cause tons of damage. And what we know is that most kids don't fit in most seatbelts until somewhere between 8 to 12 years of age, just depending on the size of the child. And it really has to do more with their seated height, how tall they are when they're sitting, than it does with how tall they are when they're standing, because some kids have short legs and long torsos and vice versa. Once a child's in the booster seat, keep them in there as long as possible until the seat belt fits correctly all by itself. And what we mean by correct seat belt fit is the child sits in the vehicle seat, they put their bottom all the way back so that their knees have to bend comfortably over the edge of the seat so that they won't slump forward. And then the seat belt should fit exactly like it would with the booster seat, with the shoulder belt coming across the collarbone and the breastbone, and then the lap belt sitting on the legs and the pelvis and not at all touching the soft part of the belly.
Well, I'm thinking I might end up needing a booster seat pretty soon here if I shrink anymore. I'm only 4'10", Doc. So, you know, for me, it's like, wow, I feel, and when you were saying that, I'm like, oh, I feel that seatbelt hit my neck sometimes. And it's not supposed to do that. But now as you wrap it up with your best advice as the chair of this department for AAP, where you are dealing with this injury, violence, poison prevention, safety things for parents every single day. While you're wrapping it up with your best advice, speak about why kids should not be in the front seat until they're practically driving themselves because of those airbags.
Right. So we know that, again, regardless of height and size, you know, that a 13-year-old who looks like an adult still is a 13-year-old on the inside, and there are some big differences in the skeletal maturity and the changes from cartilage to bone and that sort of stuff. We know that kids who are under the age of 13 sitting in the front seat have a significantly higher risk of injury. It's about a 40% increased risk of injury compared to those same kids sitting in the back seat. And so until kids are 13, they should always sit in the back seat. Once they're 13, the protection of the airbag probably is beneficial enough that would be okay. But if you think, you know, the majority of crashes still happen at the front of the car, and the further away anybody is from that point of impact, the safer you are. And that gets back again to this idea of delaying those transitions as long as possible. Don't be excited about these things because, and I know that runs counter to the way that a lot of us think about kids in development, as I mentioned earlier, because this is a serious problem. You know, it's like I said earlier, 4 kids a day, and you know, that's day in, day out. It's just too many. And the more we can do to protect them, you know, the more we can do to decrease that number.
Absolutely, 100% correct. And I'm right with you on all of these points. And I'm going to end the show the same way that I began, by saying one of the most important jobs you have as a parent is keeping your child safe, and especially when riding in a vehicle, because it just seems like that's the easiest way to have tragedy happen. It can happen in the blink of an eye and so fast. And Dr. Benjamin Hoffman really gave you great advice today, listeners, about buying that car seat and using expired or or ones that are at garage sales or somebody else is giving it to you, how to find that perfect one, when to move your children, when you can turn them around facing forward, when to use booster seats, really all of the advice in one perfect podcast. So please share this show with your friends, put it on Facebook, share it all over the place so that they hear this new policy, well, not new policy, but the policy by the American Academy of Pediatrics to keep our kids safe, because that is what it's all about. That's what they do every single day. And this show is Healthy Children, and our expert guests are provided by the gold standard of pediatricians, the American Academy of Pediatrics. And we love them here at Radio MD. So thank you so much for listening. This is Melanie Cole, and stay well.